As part of African American History Month at Missouri State University, Associate Professor of Voice Dr. Todd Payne will present a vocal recital tonight at 7:30 in Ellis Recital Hall. It's free and open to the public. Dr. Payne will be accompanied by two other MSU faculty members, pianist Dr. Peter Collins and organist Jeremy Chessman, along with the MSU Chorale. The concert includes a group of German songs by Robert Schumann, the Te Deum scene from Puccini's opera Tosca, then a group of spirituals. And finally, Dr. Todd Payne will be joined by award-winning New York composer, pianist, and musicologist Zach Redler in a performance of a 15-minute one-character opera or vocal monodrama, Movin' Up in the World, with libretto by Jerry Dye. The work was commissioned by Opera Memphis, a company with whom Todd Payne has a long history. The piece is based on the true story of an African-American elevator operator in the old Sears building in Memphis named Lafayette Draper. Dr. Todd Payne adds some background information on Draper.
Lafayette Draper lived back in the 60s, but this situation that occurred with him working at the Sears Crosstown building, it occurred in April of 1968, according to research, during the same time that Dr. King was killed. So with the things
that... the same month, exactly.
Yeah, with the same things that Mr. Draper had to endure during that time, you can imagine what things were like during that time with him being an elevator operator.
I asked Dr. Payne how the opera project evolved.
Back in February of 2014, Opera Memphis, where I made my professional debut many years ago, the general director had contacted me and asked would I be available to premiere this 15-minute melodrama. It was a part of a series of melodramas called the Ghosts of Crosstown series. Opera Memphis had commissioned five composers to write 15-minute melodramas about certain incidents that happened in the old Sears Crosstown building. One of those incidents was a man named Lafayette Draper, who worked as an elevator operator. Apparently, during that time, he would experience negative comments from some of his white co-workers. Not all of them, but some of them. But he never retaliated. When some of them would ask, "How you doing, Mr. John?" His name was Lafayette, but he wouldn't retaliate. His response was simply, "I'm moving up in the world." And apparently, those who asked him this question didn't know what he meant by that. He had a plan. His ultimate goal was, "I want to be in a position to put my kids through college. So if this is what I have to endure, then I'm going to endure it so I can be victorious in the end." And he became the first African-American manager in a managerial position there at Sears Crosstown.
Starting as an elevator operator.
Started as an elevator operator. Mm. Then he was promoted to manager. And on the last night of his position as an elevator operator, his supervisor asked him, would he train the young African-American gentleman who was going to succeed him as an elevator operator.
The stage setting contains a stool where Lafayette Draper sits and an empty chair that represents the young man Draper is training.
And you see in this scene, Mr. Draper saying hello and goodbye to people getting on and off the operator. And it's his way of saying to this young man, this is how you greet people. This is how you stand. But oh, when those doors close and it's just he and that young man, he allows him to see some of how he really feels about some of those people that get on the elevator. Then you get to see Mr. Draper become personal with this young man by telling him about his father, whom he had much love for, and what his father went through, and how his father chopped cotton, and how he, as a young man, Lafayette being a young man, right, would want to follow his father out into the cotton fields. And that's where he developed his strong work ethic.
Jerry Dye, the librettist for Movin' Up in the World, managed to cram a great deal of Lafayette Draper's life into a 15-minute piece.
Yes, he did. You know, Jerry was the lucky one because he had the opportunity to go and meet with him personally. And this was just last year. And so when I premiered the opera, what was so great is that we premiered all of the 15-minute melodramas on the loading dock of the old Sears Clark Tower. And once we did that, then we went inside of the building where they had just gutted it completely. And you had to have those flashlights on top of the construction hats to walk into the heart of that building. And I stood just by this old rundown elevator. Couldn't stand too far because it was cracked open. You look down and there's nothing but dirty water. But I stood right there and I premiered it again. And Mr. Draper was supposed to be at that performance, but, you know, he was ill. And I was hoping to have had the opportunity to meet him. But, of course, I think it was in September of last year that he passed away.
How old was he?
77.
Dr. Payne is a Tennessee native and earned his bachelor's degree from the University of Memphis. As a young vocal music student, he received some valuable training there.
As I tell my students a lot, it just didn't come from me just waking up one morning and I had this voice. I had a voice teacher, God rest her soul, Miss Ethel Taylor Maxwell, back in undergrad school at the University of Memphis. She was a workhorse. And for someone who stood only 5 feet tall, and I'm towering over her, she had a way of really getting under my skin to say to me, I'm not only teaching you about music, but I'm teaching you about life through music. And she pushed and she pushed. And I did not understand why she was being so hard on me until my choir at the time. We were in New York with several other choirs singing at Carnegie Hall. And the soprano soloist at the time, she was behind the baton of the conductor. And what little knowledge I knew at that time, I could tell she was behind him. And all of a sudden, he just yelled at her and said, "By God, you're behind me." And every young voice major on that stage just froze. And I went back to my voice teacher and I said, "You can push the you-know-what out of me all you want." And I'm glad she did that.
Yeah.
And I tell my students a lot that if I'm pushing you, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I know there's greatness inside of you. When my teacher, Ethel Taylor Maxwell, passed away about 2 years ago at the age of 98, I had the opportunity to go and see her. She was in the last stages of Alzheimer's. And I went into her house. Her daughter and the live-in nurse had, you know, had prepped her for me. And I was sitting at one end of this table where she would always sit and just crack the whip in her house. And her daughter just said out loud, "Today is Mama's 97th and a half birthday. Well, would you sing happy birthday to her?" And I knew that she didn't know who I was. However, I was informed that people with Alzheimer's, they can respond to music.
Yes.
And so when I was singing to her, Randy, I just kind of, you know, slouched in my chair and I was just singing happy birthday to you. And as I'm singing, I had this vision in my mind that she was looking at me like she would always look when she was teaching me and I wasn't doing things right. And I went from sitting this way to sitting straight up and singing properly because I thought, okay, she doesn't have Alzheimer's. She knows this is me.
Right. Dr. Payne talked about Zach Redler's score and about working with him on the piece.
Beautiful music. Yeah. It goes from being lyrical to being dramatic. And what I love about, I mean, when I first performed the work live, Zach Redler was present to hear me perform it. And so when I decided to do a faculty recital, and I wanted to do it in February in honor of African American Heritage Month, and asked Zach, "Would you come and play for me?" And with him at the piano, I knew that he would give me more insight into how he wanted me to portray the role. But he also allowed me to bring my own personal experiences into the role, because some of the things that Mr. Draper endured, I also experienced.
30 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things that he experienced, I thought, as I read through his lines that were written by the librettist, Jerry, I thought, you know, I've experienced some of those things. I know what it's like to be called something negative, but at the same time, just smile and bear it, because I knew that I would receive my reward at the end of rising above it. And that's exactly what Mr. Draper does. He rose above it. Before he died, he had two establishments named after him, one on Overton Square called Lafayette's Music Room and another one called Lafayette's Place, which I think opened when Beale Street opened back in Memphis. So he was well known in the community.
But that's what he did for me. He gave me work, showed it to me every day.
What does it mean to you personally not only as a singer but and a performer, but as an African-American man yourself.
My mother used to tell me, as I continued to grow up and embark on my journey in life, she used to say to me, when you encounter adversity, trust me, son, silence is your most powerful weapon. And so when I began to read through the script of what is supposed to be Mr. Lafayette's words and how the music complements his words, what I learned, and I can teach it to a lot of my students, no matter what color they are, is that when you stand true to what you believe in, believe me, this world will roll a carpet out for you because you were willing not to change, but you stood for what you believe in. And so that's what I learned as I continue to do this work. And I hope it's not my last time, because for me, the message it gives to me, again, is to stand for what I believe in and to know that there's a time and a place when you just need to be quiet and just listen. And that is one of the greatest tools that my mother could have ever given me.